You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three, and you're listening to the Common Sense Show. This is Dave Hodges, your host, along with Katie Whalen and our special guest, Doug Hagman. Our special thanks and gratitude go out to John Rappaport for that great first hour, and when we post to the archives, the great folks at Global Star have told us that any of the cutouts that you heard will not be there on the archives. So that's really good news for everybody. Just want to remind you that this hour is partially brought to you by Steve Quayle and Renaissance Precious Metals. And, you know, after listening to this hour and you go check out the facts, if you think there's a problem, call Steve. And I'll tell you, Steve can't help you. He thinks gold is or silver is not the right thing for you to do. He will tell you. He's told people, just go buy food. Gold won't help you. 406-586-4842 to gain information on what you probably should be doing. Also want to remind everybody, we've talked about, we'll get into this hour, about food. Food is a weapon. And actually FEMA has laws, administrative procedures to confiscate your food. I've told these stories before with people I know that have had FEMA visit their house and look at their food supplies against their will. You need to get food. You need to store some of it. You should probably hide some of it. And I'd encourage you to go to NumanaFoods.com/Hodges. Take a look around. They've got something for everybody there. Organic powdered milk, grab and go buckets if you have to hit the road, and long time, big time storage, and the food is great. And one more. We've got a company, DETC Tactical, that sells accessories, magazines, and so forth for guns. If you think you're going to have to hunker down, and if you think there's a chance that bad people who haven't prepared are going to be in the streets trying to take what you and yours have, I would strongly suggest that you visit DETCTactical.com, click on the Hodges page, because everything that's on there is 5% off. Okay, Doug, this is, let me just throw this to you. I know a couple things I want to get covered before we're done, but you're the guest. What's closest to your heart right now? What do you need the people to understand in a manner in which you feel like you're fulfilling your mission?
Wow. I wake up every morning and ask myself that very question, because of all the things that are out there. We're being lied to so much, and the news is not covering anything really of substance. That's probably the greatest question that anyone could ask and answer. What I see right now is I see us moving headlong into a fascist society. And I say that only because we could take any one of the parts to this puzzle and dwell on any single part of the puzzle, but not have a clear picture of the entire puzzle. And I think what people really need to understand, at least in my view, is we are seeing a fascist society in the making. We're seeing the Fabian socialist Marxist approach toward complete and total takeover. We have been captured. America is a captured operation. We've been captured from within. The symptoms, whether it be the delegate theft in quotes in Colorado and Wyoming, or the uprising of the Trump campaign against these thefts, or whether it's the overt political bragging by Cruz and his team saying we're smarter than Trump, on the, that's on the right. On the left, of course, you've got the Sanders and Hillary mindset, which are not too dissimilar. I mean, one is a socialist, the other is a communist, in ideologically speaking. This is what we, this is what we have today. So you've got division among the conservatives, deep division, to the point of families being divided over Trump versus Cruz, for example. Then you've got the divide over on the other side where Hillary doesn't go far enough. We need Sanders in there to really take us home. So I guess what's on my mind right now, in a word, is division. And I see us being divided, and division being divided is the only way that we could be led into captivity by a globalist organization. So if you want to think smaller or think domestically, it, just for American listeners, think that political system, but apply it to the globalist system. But the dark or the Trojan horse of this globalist system is really this fascist regime, the technocracy that's also involved in this, and that's a whole different, whole another subject that we can talk about. The incremental death by a thousand paper cuts that every American, every person in the West is experiencing, and the thread, that golden thread that's woven through the fabric of all of this, is the Luciferian objectives. And I say Luciferian deliberately, and people might roll their eyes, but at the heart of all of this is this new world order. And these are not my words. These are George H.W. Bush's words and others, and even Hitler, and on and on. Everyone's talking about this. This is a return to Nimrod. This is a return to Babel. The return to Babylon, and the recreation of that in biblical proportions. So those people, if you are not a Christian, maybe you're an atheist, maybe you are, it doesn't matter what you are, I would really urge you to pick up a Bible and to read Daniel, Isaiah, Revelation, those books, and just be intellectually honest with yourselves. And from that material, ask yourself, does any of this sound or feel familiar? Because this is what is taking place today. And then that's the bigger picture, because we are right now undergoing a fascist makeover. And I don't want to dominate the conversation here, Dave, but you know, a lot of people think they've got a pretty good idea what a fascist society is all about. Of course, we've seen the pictures from the Nazi Germany back in the 30s, the crowds, the frenzy, the jackbooted the troops, the rallies, the waving of flags, speeches by Hitler and so on, the cheering approval by these enormous crowds. Are we not seeing that on a social scale for the individual party members today? I think we are. And then what about the economic landscape of the 1930s Germany? Are we not seeing that here in America? I think we are. And what about the mindset of all people? I think what we're seeing here is this generation, and everyone alive today is really held captive to this plan, globalist plan. And most people know something's wrong, but they don't know exactly what it is. And others know what's wrong and know what it is, but feel helpless. And, you know, here we are on a Sunday night talking about this and trying to wake people up and say, hey, we've got to do something. And what do we do? Well, you know, we're exposing the machinations of these people, of the globalists. And through exposure, I believe we can defer, not change necessarily, not rewrite the biblical prophetic biblical prophecy, but certainly, you know, if nothing else, if we could give our grandchildren just another day of normalcy where they could play in the playground and swing on swings without being molested by this agenda, without being adversely affected by it. If we can keep hunger and disruptions away for another week, another month, boy, you know, we've done our job. And that's kind of what I, and if we could prepare people for the eventuality of all of this to come about, that will come about, I truly believe, as prophesied in the Bible, but also as historically shown over millennia with different civilizations, then I think that you know, we've done our job. How's that for an answer?
Yeah, it's very good. It's very very true, but the caveat is you can lead a sheep to water, but you can't make them think.
That's right.
And therein lies my frustration, Doug, because there is so much documentable evidence out there that even of a tenth of what we're saying collectively was true, people should already be in the streets with the pitchforks or worse.
Yeah, you know what, Dave? What in the hell is it going to take? Sorry about that. What's it going to take? Seriously, what's it going to take for the American people or the people in the West to rise up, to get mad enough, angry enough, to say, you know what, we're not going to take this anymore? Is it going to take the raping of your daughter or your wife like Sweden with the alien invasion that's being covered up by the media, the complicit media? Is it going to take the confiscation of your bank account like we saw in Greece, or at least part of it? Is it going to, I mean, what's it going to take for the people in, for men, and I'm talking now to Christian men, to rise up and say, no, no more. And men, patriotic men of their own countries, if you're listening to this in Canada or the United States, we're not going to put up with this anymore. What in the world is it going to take for you folks to say, I am not going to put up with this anymore? And if I could just say one thing, we can't fight CD Hall, what can we do about it? You know, shrugging your shoulders, chuckling and saying, you know, what can we possibly do about it? We can do a lot about it. Not being able to fight City Hall is a lie. It's a contemptible, damnable lie, straight from the pit of hell. We do have that ability. We've got these idiots in Congress outnumbered. We've got them. We can do a lot, and we should do a lot. And that also brings me to one more thing too, and I'll get off my soapbox. But you know, every day in this country, we've got what, 4,000 or 5,000 slaughtering of unborn children, and it's okay. And every day in this country, we now are told that we must be more tolerant of perversions, sexual perversions, women's bathrooms turning into men's bathrooms, and this transgendered crap. And I do mean that crap, because that's all it is. It's a mindset that is perverse, and I certainly won't stand for it. And of course, you know, the fascist behavior of the TSA. Every day we've got thousands, tens of thousands of men allowing the TSA agents to grope and feel their wives and daughters without saying one word. You know, we have the ability to change if enough of us just stand up and say no more. You know, your fascist tactics, we're not going to allow this anymore. Then we have that power to change, and we can reclaim some of our liberty back. But a lot of that is going to depend on our spiritual conversion as well as our, shall we say, patriotic conversion.
Well, let's just take one thing you said, the airlines, the grope and feel agenda of the TSA. If we collectively, as Americans, who do not need to fly for our jobs, so I understand if people feel trapped to a point, but if we just collectively said, we'll drive to where we're going or we won't go, well, you'd have places like Hawaii, the Caribbean, all resorts owned by the elite, the airline industry owned by the elite, they'd be screaming to stop what they're doing at the airports. We could bring this to a stop if only 20% of us did this. Doug, why don't we have the guts and the intestinal fortitude to stand up to these heathens?
Because we are a nation of wimps. And I'm sorry to say that. You know, again, it goes back to this mindset of that we've been told we have to adhere to this. We have to obey. And, of course, a lot of this is really mind control. And when I say mind control, I'm talking about social engineering as well. The fact that we can't, and of course we have to accept this in lieu of security, or in lieu of, we have to give up some of our rights because of security. When in fact the TSA, they were just found to have employed 73 I think it was 73 or 75 known terrorists were in their employ. As to why? Well, because convenience is more important to people than their rights. And you know, a lot of this stems back to people not people being sold a bill of goods, a lie. For example, which you mentioned, the TSA. You know, one person stands up to a TSA agent. When I flew last time, I did this, and you know what? It was amazing because instead of people coming to my aid and supporting my outburst, of course, it was tempered with laryngitis. Like my screams were whispers, I guess, or my yelling was whispers. But having, and it's probably a good thing. But having said that, people just looked at me like I was out of my mind, and I was saying basically the people that, you know, the TSA agents were nothing but fascists. And when was the last time that you folks had ever captured a terrorist? I'll tell you when. It was none. But if people stood up and said, no, I'm not going to do this. If one person does it, they go to jail. If 10 people do it, there might be a little, you know, maybe the press might show up. I don't know. But if 100 people did it, or 1,000 people did it, we could stop this entire process. And if we can't do it in that fashion, then I agree with you. And I had said this to the airline the last time I flew, and I had to fly because I get to a convention. It was the only time I've flown in the last 10 years. But let's bankrupt the airline. And I said, you know, I intend to tell everybody I know not to fly, of course. I don't know what that's going to do. But we got a pretty large platform. Let's, because you know what? If you as an airline are going to allow this to your passengers, this being done to your passengers, you don't deserve to be in business. So let's bankrupt the airlines. That's one thing we can do. We don't need to be organized for that. Let's just all do it and start doing it, or make a scene to the point where we just kind of throw a monkey wrench into the system, you know, the fly in the ointment, and we just keep doing it and doing it until people get sick of it. The airlines and the TSA people get sick of it. We have that power individually. We don't need to have some leader and some group and some organization and an opt-out day. Let's just do it every day. That's what I believe. And the same thing with another lie that we've been sold, Dave. And I know this is kind of getting off track here, but you know, this goes back to the spiritual problem that we have. We've been told a lie that the judicial, the Supreme Court legalized homosexual marriage. Homosexual marriage is not legal. It's not a law. Who makes the laws? Congress makes the laws. Well, so it's not the law of the land? No, because if it was, the Dred Scott decision would be the law of the land, simply because Dred Scott was never repealed. That was an opinion by the Supreme Court. So notice to all blacks who believe that the Supreme Court makes the laws, well, I've got to tell you, you're two-thirds of a person then, is if you accept homosexual marriage as the law of the land, then you've got to accept the standing of the Dred Scott decision. A little bit of history for you. So the bottom line here is we need real men, real people with guts to stand up and take a stand. And we also need to reverse the brainwashing, reverse the lies, and start standing up to people outside of the new media, people who perpetuate these lies, like Sean Hannity. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity, but you're wrong when you say homosexual marriage is the law of the land. We need to repeal that, or repeal it through judicial fiat. No, it's not the law of the land. You're spreading disinformation. So we need to understand history, understand where we've been in order to understand where we are now and to make a plan as to where we need to go.
You have me all choked up, Doug. I couldn't have said it any better. It's you're absolutely right. Excuse me. You're absolutely right. And people just acquiesce to the agenda. And, you know, here's the interesting thing. In the beginning of the gay movement, I agreed with their principles that we have the right to sin. Now, I encourage people not to sin. And by the way, we're moving, I'm hearing, towards legislation to outlaw Christians being able to say that.
There you
but
go.
I wouldn't deny someone residency in a house, admission to a graduate program, getting a job. I wouldn't deny that. Because, you know, who he is without sin, cast the first stone. But, you know, I can influence, I can speak my mind, but I try to do it in a loving spirit. I've never, ever, ever advocated for, shall we say, discrimination, brutalization. In fact, actually, I've actually argued and fought against such things. But to enforce a personalized agenda, a sexual preference upon the American people, and codify it into law and tell the rest of us, you will honor this. You cannot invoke your Christian principles. You can't, you should not educate your children that this is not your family's belief. To me, the movement, not necessarily most of the people, but the leadership of the movement with the complicity of Obama for reasons we all know too well, have basically hijacked the movement and said, you know, we're going to come after you. If you talk about Muslim extremism, terrorism in San Bernardino, December 2015, 14 Americans dead at the hands of an ISIS member. You talk about Muslim extremism, says Loretta Lynch mob, we're coming after you. Doug, what the heck is going on here? I mean, it's an upside down world. It's absolutely insane. And political correctness is killing this country. Donald Trump is so right.
Yeah. You know something, Dave, and you bring up a great point. If you're listening to this program, folks, please support Dave Hodges. And why do I say that? Because we, collectively and individually, in the new media, I call the alternative media new media because that's what we are. We report the hard facts. We are really at the receiving end of this barrage, this insane attack against all of us. Now, you may not believe that, but we are labeled, Dave Hodges, Doug Hagman, we're labeled as bigots, as racist. There's, you know, we're posted on the Right Wing Watch and the other goofy what is that, Southern Poverty Law Center. We are being targeted by these companies, believe it or not, and I know this to be true, and Dave Hodges will never complain about this, but you know what, there are groups and people out there who will contact the advertisers and contact the associates of Dave Hodges and say, look, Dave Hodges is a bigot, a racist, and we have to shut him up. Well, same thing with me. I mean, and if that doesn't work, there's always these vexatious litigants in frivolous lawsuits. They'll take you to court because their feelings are hurt or they feel offended in some way, and they want to bankrupt us. And we are constantly under attack. Anyone who's making a difference, and if that doesn't work, then you're harassed. And I know for a fact. And again, folks, you know, again, Dave Hodges will not, probably not say a word, but I know for a fact he's been harassed, stalked to an extent. Same with me. I mean, we've had to up our security. And people say, oh, come on, you're overstating, you're hyping it, you're just making that stuff up. No.
Oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. You know?
And we can go on and on, but ultimately, what will happen is we will be labeled intolerant, and through legislation or just executive fiat, we are going to be muzzled, where we will not be able to say homosexuality is wrong, or abortion is wrong.
Doug, I have a question. Will you be able to say that heterosexuality is wrong?
Heterosexuality is wrong?
Yeah, will you be able to say that?
I'm sure anything that's the inverse of evil will be outlawed, and anything that's the inverse of good will be promoted. So yeah, I think so. I think that, you know, we could damn the heterosexual nuclear heterosexual relationships and nuclear families, but again, you know, why? Let's look at this. In order to take down this country, they've got to assault and effectively assault our values. They've got to take out the middle class. Who's in the middle class? Well, it's the nuclear family. They've got to take away our morals. And of course, at the epicenter of all of this is our spirituality, our Judeo-Christian ethic. And I've had people email me saying, you don't even know what Judeo-Christian ethic is. So we even have the church, the remnant, the body of the church has been infiltrated by socialists and Marxists and progressives and Fabian socialists and communists, to the extent that they're taking down our very values in which that we hold dear, and they're doing it for cause, because this causes division. So all of this, as we enter into the 2016 election cycle, into the final lap of the 2016 presidential election, this is going to be ramped up and exacerbated to the point where I do believe, ladies and gentlemen, that blood will flow on the streets. And I hope I'm wrong, and I hope broadcasts like this can and will make the difference by exposing the plans of the globalists, by the plans of the Black Lives Matter and these anarchist groups that are just out there trying to take us down. I hope we're wrong, and I hope we can change it. But if not, we will see blood in the streets, exacerbation of civil war. To what end? In order to subjugate us to a global governance and the jackboot of tyranny on our throats, to take away our rights, more of our rights. And this is not a, by the way, this is not a Republican Democrat thing. This is a Republican and Democrat acting as the uniparty, the party of the globalists, who have sold their souls for seats at the globalist table against people like you and I and everyone listening to this program.
Well, anything that's good and decent comes under attack. I mean, it's not just the homosexual agenda. I mean, most Americans are not going to come after and persecute anybody, deny anyone public office. The public has elected gay people that were knowingly gay before all this inappropriate rulings from the Supreme Court took place. But, Doug, it's expanded way beyond that. It's expanded beyond what most of us think is tolerable and let people live by their own conscience. But we've gone into now pedophilia, child sex trafficking. We've got George Soros, who gave $2 million to the North American Man-Boy Love Association. You know, really, why is he even allowed to set foot in America? He should be arrested by the FBI, and he should be imprisoned for facilitating this behavior. But we just let it go on. And then the abject porno that our kids have access to on the internet, now increasingly on network TV, Doug, it's just gone crazy. It's a total perversion of the Christian principles that this country was founded on.
Exactly. And that, to me, is a symptom of the church's diminished influence, of Christians' diminished influence, because obviously we have a vacuum in this country, especially in the United States, of Christians who are taking a stand for what is right, for what is moral, what is ethical. So what happens? Well, that vacuum that's been created by the lack of Christian influence and application of principles allows for this perversion to overtake us. And right now, you know, we have to ask ourselves, is God on America's side, for example?
And, No.
That's right. I mean, it's, and you know, I don't know if I said this before, just real quick. I read something in Erwin Lutzer's book, When a Nation Forgets God, and it was about a time when the Christians were worshiping in a church, and forgive me if I've repeated this or if you've heard this before, but a group of Christians who believed themselves to be good Christians were worshiping in a church every Sunday, and every Sunday they would hear the whistle of a train coming by. The church was located near railroad tracks, and they knew this train was filled with Jews that were headed off to ultimately to their deaths into the concentration camps, and this bothered a lot of people. So, you know, what did they do? Did they do anything? No. To cover up, knowing that, for example, knowing that the train was going to pass by at a certain time during their service, rather than doing anything about it, they merely sang their hymns louder to cover up the screams from the people inside and the whistle of the train. That's what we're doing here in this country. I mean, we are not doing anything except singing louder in the as the train approaches and the screams, we can hear them, and that makes us uncomfortable. So instead of doing anything proactive, we just sing louder. And that's the problem. America does not have a tolerance problem, by the way, or an intolerance problem. We have a problem with tolerance. We have a problem with tolerating the theft, the wholesale theft of our inheritance. We have a problem with tolerating evil. You know, it's how many times have people heard, well, you know, it's the lesser of two evils. Well, why in the world will we settle for evil anyway? We shouldn't. We're better than that. We've got better choices than that. We can fight City Hall. And I don't want to be on my soapbox and preach, but
people need to hear this, because Solzhenitsyn addressed this in a different way, Doug, but it's essentially the same thing. When a quarter of his city was taken off to the gulags, actually a little more than that, he said, we didn't love freedom enough. If we would have met our oppressors in the doorway with our pokers and our clubs and whatever we could find to fight with, and if some of these ne'er-do-wells thought, I might not go home tonight to my family, he said, we might have been able to stop it. And I want to remind people of this, that millions died. Stalin killed 20 million of his own people. Now, let's just take a look at Obama and Hillary Clinton. And if anyone's followed this show and followed my website or listened to Doug's show and followed his work, there is not a bigger sociopathic criminal than Hillary Clinton, documented times 90. And Barack Obama is not far behind. In fact, Doug, I think Obama was allowed to be president first because he's the eighth inning setup man in baseball terms, and Hillary is vicious enough to be the closer. Do you think she's going to hesitate to put down at least 20 million Americans, Doug?
No. I mean, look at her actions with respect to Benghazi in Libya. Look at the gleeful nature that she greeted the death of Gaddafi. And Gaddafi, for whatever he might have been, the despicable human being that he might have been, to celebrate the sodomy, the torture of another human being in the manner in which she did, speaks a lot about the character of that person. However, the way she handled Benghazi in terms of covering up the weapons the weapons transfer from Libya and other countries to Turkey for their ultimate destination in Syria, for her email, all of her email machinations and nefarious activity there. My goodness, she should be in prison, indicted five times over. But you know what? To indict her, and I think people really, especially conservatives, don't understand this. Once you indict Hillary Clinton, you are going to open a can of worms so big that's going to have the junk that's going to come from that can, from that indictment, is going to be so bad. It's going to reveal the complicity of the Gang of Eight, for example, reveal the complicity of all politicians, regardless of party. And it's going to stink, and it's going to get everybody muddy. But it needs to happen. But yeah, Hillary Clinton, and I do believe you're, and I love this with what you said, what you talked about with Obama being that person at that time, the eighth, would you say the eighth inning?
Inning setup guy, you know, the guy
that
gets you to your ninth inning closer when you have the lead in baseball terms. And, you know, there's something I just want to throw out there, too. Not only has Hillary acted with unbelievable indifference towards Benghazi, what does it matter comment, they're dead, what does it matter, but the trail of bodies that followed her and Bill into the White House, particularly Madison Guarantee, the Clearwater, Vince Foster, I mean, this woman has a trail of bodies that would rival Al Capone, and yet she's still out there. The publications are out there. I've written about a hypertext link. Read it. And I'm not the only one. I'm the one, maybe one in 5, 10,000. And yet, how can anyone, the Democratic side, say, oh, Hillary's for me. She's a woman. You don't like women, Hodges and Hagman. You know what? I don't have a problem with women running for office. Just that woman.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, she's a career criminal. I spent 30 years as an investigator. And, yeah, between the trail of dead bodies, which, of course, many people say is an urban legend or it's overstated.
No.
You know, even if, okay, let's just say if 50% was true. That certainly shows a continuous course of criminal activity, as we say in the investigative business. And all of this combined, Dave, I mean, my goodness, there's absolutely no, I mean, there should be no argument, intellectual or otherwise, about the Clinton criminal cabal and Bill Clinton and the foundation and all of this. She's got it's just unbelievable to me that there is this mindset of the Democrats, of the progressives, who are so protective of Hillary's reputation, and how you know what, let me ask you, I mean, how is it possible that otherwise reasonable and sensible human beings can forgive or look away from the actions of Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton? I just don't get it.
Because they're enthralled by the fact that she's a woman. At one time, she was a pretty good public speaker. She doesn't motivate me now, and I don't know how she motivates anyone. And then you look at the process. I'm deviating from your question here, but I want to point this out. It's not just the Republicans that steal elections. Bernie Sanders has won 8 of the last 9 primary elections. How is it that Hillary got more delegates in those 9 elections? Can someone explain? Is that new math? Did I miss that?
It's common. It's common core.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a fantastic. Yeah, you're exactly correct with that. It amazes me that we can see the, see what's taking place with the electoral college, with the delegates and superdelegates, and I think that if nothing else, what at the very least, what Trump and his supporters have seen, you know what, and Dave, perhaps this does fit into all of the information given to you by your source and my source. Perhaps now, with this revelation of these delegates and how the whole system can be gamed, maybe the overt nature of what we're seeing is deliberate to take us into civil war at this time, or brother against brother at this time, because and don't forget, we do have a, well, erroneously, people say we have a black president. He's really not black. He's Arab. His complexion is black, but he's really an Arab in terms of his genealogy. And speaking of black, by the way, and I mentioned this earlier, you know, at the RNC, I was told by my source that the Black Lives Matter and other groups that are affiliated with that organization have reserved blocks of rooms, and they're planning on you know, doing a lot of things. But people don't get the fact that black Americans just, I mean, right now, they're 12.5% of our population, but they commit 32.5% of all rapes, 35% of all assaults, and 55% of all robberies, and 50% of all murders. And worse, 91% of murdered blacks are killed by other blacks. And this is from the 2012 FBI crime stats in the 2010 U.S. Census. So,
Doug, you're a racist.
Yeah, exactly. I must be, right?
But this is not a crime, though. These aren't necessarily crimes. They're not crimes at all of race. These are crimes of socioeconomics, choked off opportunity. Sociologists refer to this as screen theory. When people are blocked from legitimate means to meet their basic needs, they seek alternatives.
Amen.
Not confined to black people.
Well, no, but the stats with respect to the blacks are. So if I was a black American, I'd be really, really angry at the exploitation, at, you know, people who are trying to exploit me, meaning the groups like Black Lives Matter and such. But I think right now we're being set up, and we're being set up for a great fall. And all of the components of this fall that we have talked about this evening, the economic, severe economic downturn and orchestrated collapse, takedown of our economy, the racial division, the doctrinal divisions among Christians, and the larger doctrinal divisions among people in general. All of this is leading up to, I believe, a climactic style event. Now, people are busy looking for this one event to take place. I'm not so sure it's going to be one event. I think it's going to be incremental, and perhaps at the end there might be some sort of massive event. And you had mentioned, and you talk about the Tet Offensive and an invasion from foreign sources. I believe that to be true. Militarily, right now, the only thing that's protecting us are two oceans, period, and a somewhat okay military. But look at what Obama has done. He can't move oceans, but he certainly can destroy our military. Look what he's done so far, and not just him, but those complicit with him. And you reported on that for years now.
Well, it's even expanded from the terrorist Mexican drug cartel combination base camps where they're training paramilitary groups. I've heard from a Texas Ranger who said they're battening down the hatches, waiting for ISIS to come across. I've heard from him again recently saying, Dave, I told you it's coming. Don't focus so much on the Walmarts. He told me this during Jade Helm. He said, focus on the paramilitary. And they're going into Honduras. And I should probably mention this. I was on Kathy Rubio's show, oh gosh, 3 weeks ago. And God bless you, Kathy. I wish you speedy recovery from your back surgery. The woman speaks impeccable Spanish. She has eyewitnesses on the ground that have seen U.S. military drop crates of weapons in Honduras. She has firsthand knowledge of this, and she has seen it. She's named the airport, and as soon as she's better, you know, God willing, we're going to get her on the show. And here's your supporting documentation. Russia has military relationships with 12 nations in the 33 Latin American nations. They have Russian troops, Russian tanks, they have Russian everything. And what else do they have? They have even space-based weapons they're working on with Brazil. And in the last CELAC meeting of the 33 nations, which includes the U.S. and Canada, the U.S. and Canada were the only two nations not invited. That's your paramilitary force, folks. It's Red Dawn. Red Dawn's going to be ISIS, MS-13. It's going to be terrorist disruption to further the need for martial law and to have people run to the FEMA camps for protection. And then it's going to be a military invasion. And this is what they're preparing for there. And it's all being put together by a cartel named the Sanchez Paredes. Google these things, or search engine these things on the Common Sense Show, or go to Doug's archives. I've talked about this many, many times. Doug, this is scary stuff. It's not just going to stop with an economic collapse. There are seven more events
that are going to lead to depopulation by 90% of the population. 90%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seven more steps.
And you know what? You really nailed that through your reporting. And I had to go back and go back through your archives and kind of string together your reports. Quite disturbing, to say the least. Seven events, though, you're saying, which is an interesting number, by the way.
Well, that's historical precedent.
Okay.
And that's where you start with an economic collapse. And I'll just give the first couple because people, you'll be able to read this tomorrow on the website. It'll also be up on stevequayle.com. Excuse me. And what we're looking at here, Doug, is a well-orchestrated plan to take us down. And history shows there are seven steps that are followed. Now, this guy named Stanton, Jim Stanton, wrote a 1996 doctoral essay where he said there were eight steps. And I went through that today, and I said, you know, that's fairly close. We have about a 60% correspondence between Stanton's work and what I'm saying is going to unfold. But at some point in time, I would say, where's the resistance? And people say, Dave, that's not true. Okay, wait a minute. Let's go to an ecology leader for the UN, the head of the UN Planetary Charter. His name is David Spangler, and he says no one will come to the New World Order without pledging an allegiance to Lucifer. I don't think it gets much more clear than that.
Yeah, and this is, boy, I'll tell you, this has been set up for really hundreds of years, if not millennia, if you want to take a look at the larger picture. I am really afraid for the West. I was going to say my country, but I'm really concerned for the West because, think 10 years ago. 10 years ago, if we were, and Dave, I do believe this, if we were to go on air or had gone on air 10 years ago and paint the picture of where we are today, I think we would have been called names. I mean, loonies, you know, weird nut jobs. Who could have scripted this out in this fashion? And, but we are seeing this pledging toward this this Luciferian and satanic globalist, you know, globalism, and I would urge everyone to really learn about the United Nations and Lucius Trust and Spangler and others who are involved in this, and understand the real satanic nature of what we're seeing take place, because I do believe, and I didn't believe this before. I mean, you know, the 10, 15 years ago, but I don't believe, Dave, that we could take out the current events or take out biblical prophecy from current events. I think they're interlinked so far and interwoven so far. Even the events in the Middle East right now that we're seeing prophesized by the Bible. I'm not a minister, I'm not a pastor. I'm an investigator. I'm seeing things. I'm connecting the dots, and the dots I'm connecting, they're not only verifying what you have been reporting and what we've been reporting, but also what is contained in the Bible and historical documents. This is, you know, we're at the precipice right now. And I think that any one of these, and you mentioned something too, and I want to ask you about this. A biological attack, wouldn't it be interesting if the conveyance, and I'm not trying to give anyone any ideas, but some sort of biological agent being spread on paper money that would cause not just the immediate devaluation of the money itself, the currency, but it would necessitate purely digital transactions. And, of course, that would cede control and surveillance and control over everything. So
Doug, someday I'm going to do a show on this.
And it's the predictive programming of the old TV series on Fox called 24 with Kiefer Sutherland. And, oh my goodness, you just hit something right there. And there's so many things they predict. I mean, they're selling Obama as a black president. You're right, he's an Arab. They predicted that. And one other thing that they hit, this black president was almost killed in an assassination attempt, not by money, but by a handshake with some, she had a tissue and transmitted to his hand. And that is, tissue could have easily been a dollar bill. Easily.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I did a lot of traveling across the bridges and through, you know, under the tunnel or using the tunnels in New York City when I did investigations in the five boroughs, and it was interesting because a lot of the people, and especially after the anthrax situation or anthrax attacks of 2002, toll takers were wearing plastic gloves or latex gloves. But yeah, you know, it would not be that difficult to create a widespread panic, and ultimately, folks, I think what we're looking at is the desire or the objective to push to get rid of paper money, because paper money, you could have a black market and they can't control that. Anything that they can't control or at least surveil, they want to get rid of. And that's kind of what we're seeing right here. And I think so, have everything digital, you know, you won't need or you will not be allowed to have paper money. And they're already doing this with the $100 bill or the $50 bill, saying
it. $100 bill is what they're going after. Yep.
Yeah. So
$100 bill. And you know, they're going to go after food and water. And this is really what we're focusing on. And I think that they'll take down power supplies to ferment this. In the LA Basin, most of their water is pumped over a mountain, and you need electricity. And if you take that down, there's going to be a lot of really desperate people in the LA Basin. And I think they're going to do that as well. Doug, we're just about out of time, and I wanted to give you an opportunity before we close to talk about your show and talk a little bit about your book that you mentioned earlier.
Well, again, thank you, Dave. And before I even do that, I just want to say how proud I am to be considered, you know, a colleague of yours.
Colleague, a friend.
It's our honor
to have you on. The world knows Doug Hagman a lot better than Dave, and that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're all partners. We lock arms. See, this is a beautiful thing about what we do, Doug. We don't compete. There's a few people that try to compete with us. We blow them off. But we give each other information. We support each other's stories. And I hope that as people enter the ranks to support, you know, what we're doing and participate as journalists, that you keep that spirit alive. Anyway, Doug, let's talk about your book and your show.
Well, thank you. And our show, and Dave Hodges, ladies and gentlemen listening to this, Dave Hodges is a guest on our show. We love it when he comes on. I mean, people just love him. Global Star Radio Network, every Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And we're also on YouTube and Blog Talk Radio as well. Hagman and Hagman.com, that's our website. HagmanReport.com is our news site. And thanks for allowing me to mention about my book. It was kind of a personal situation for me, cathartic to write. It's doing pretty well on Amazon. It's available on Amazon. Or if you'd like an autographed copy or a signed copy or a personalized copy, just send me an email. Just go to stainedbyblood.com and send me an email there. There's instructions on the top right. But man, I'll tell you what, I'm just so proud and honored that you'd have me on, and I really appreciate it. And I just would urge everyone listening to this, please, if you like what you hear, please support Dave Hodges. Please support the Common Sense Show. Do so by making sure, you know, to the advertisers, visiting the advertisers, as well as directly donating to keep the show alive. And Katie Whalen, of course, I want to mention Katie. Thank you so much for everything you do. Big part of my life, having met you just recently. But also support her as well. And she's going through some health issues, but winning also doesn't mean that. Well, we need to support Katie Whalen as well financially and in prayer. So, Dave, thank you so much, man, for for making my Sunday night, for having me on a Sunday night. I really appreciate this.
Well, I just think it was a frank conversation between two people that cover these things, and I think maybe we gave some people some impetus to go out and find out how sane we really are, how accurate we really are, and I think they're going to find out we're a lot closer to being right than we're closer to being wrong, and people need to make a choice. And I want to say this in closing. I don't want to sound like a revolutionary, but just looking at Solzhenitsyn and the Jews that went through the death camps, first of all, you allow yourself to go into one of those, the vast majority of us will not come out. And Solzhenitsyn wrote many times he'd have been better off dying than going through that experience. And I'm not saying death is preferable to whatever. That's an individual choice. But I think, for me, I'm not going to be lured there by food, by water, by fear, by political ideology. And, Doug, I know you share that belief.
I'll be right beside you in the foxhole, and I would much rather die standing up with my boots on than on my knees in a position of subjugation. And you know what, folks? We all have to make that decision. We have to make those choices today because we may not have an opportunity in the near future. And thank you for being such an example and a luminary with respect to your reporting and your position. And I'm proud to be in the foxhole with you, in the trenches with you.
Likewise, my friend. Thank you for joining us, Doug.
God bless you.
Big bless you. Doug Hagman. And if the world only worked together as well as some of us, and some of you in the listening audience, you are so wonderful with the things you send me. Please be patient with me. I get 300 to 400 emails a day. And some days I'm just so tired I don't have time to get through all of them, but eventually I try to. But you are appreciated out there in the listening audience. And for the new people, again, I want to send you over to scene.life. There's stuff being printed there that if you're new to the movement, you want to know what's going on. This is a discreet and painless and free way, no expense, of having your horizons broadened. Very quickly, Katie, we got about 30 seconds. Talk about our guest that you secured for the show next week.
Next week, you mean the May 1st? I have
May 1st, yes.
Yes, May 1st, Sunday, May 1st, we have Greg Jackson on. Greg Jackson?
Oh, good.
Yes, he wrote a book called 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die, The Simple American Truth About Life, Family, and Faith. So please stay tuned for that show, and that's in the second hour.
Amen. I'm gonna ask him how you tell your children about the New World Order.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Tying all this together. Goodness.
Excellent.
Yes.
Actually, well, next week, Ted Brewer is coming back before he goes on vacation, and he's got a whole lot of new stuff, and I do mean new stuff. And it's stuff that, unfortunately, is going to curl our toes. So, Katie, we're just about out of time. Thanks to everyone for joining us. God bless everybody. We'll see you back here next week at the same time at 8 p.m. Eastern. Take care.
Good night. Everybody.